3 months down, 3 months to go. Shvat, Adar Aleph, Adar Beis. Are you rushing out afterwards? I brought the letter here if you want to. This evening, maybe?
I'm taking all these. I'll work on it today.
No, not urgent. Just a few million dollars at stake, you know. Zot the Gemara. Let's go from Tanya again, the sixth bottom line on Mem Tesimalav. Tanya, Omer Belozba Tzadik, Lul Kotten, Hoyobin Kevish Lemizbeach. There was a small box or cage or container between the Kevish and the Mizbeach. What does that mean, between? As we discussed in Rashi, their kevesh didn't actually reach the edge of the mizbeach because you had to throw from the kevesh to the mizbeach through the korbanos, and in between, the gap in between the kevesh and the mizbeach, there was this lul. Says the Gemara, fifth bottom line, b'ma'arovei shel kevesh, it was on the west-hand side, which is the left of the kevesh, v'achas l'shivim shana, once in 70 years, pirchei kuhuna, the young lads, they used to descend there and used to clean out, the scrape out the congealed wine. It becomes solidified like a fig cake. Now, let's just stop for a moment. I think we mentioned this yesterday. Rashi already points this out. We've already discussed in the Gemara prior that there was a tahoim that went all the way down into the deepest depth. So it's not entirely clear, in fact it's completely unclear, what on earth we're talking about here. Which box? What box? So Rashi said, Enacham is machloikas. There is a machloikas, very important machloikas, when you did the nesochim, where did the maim and the yain end up? According to the shitta that we learned early on in the Gemara, it ended up seeping its way through all to the deepest depths of the world, which were created b'sheishes mi'abreishes. But according to this opinion, however, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, no, there was a box that contained it all. And every 70 years, therefore, it had to be scraped out. What would they do with it? Says the Gemara, in the second bottom line, Uboin v'sorfin oisei, they would come along and they would burn it. Bikedusha. What does that mean? Bikedusha. Says Rashi, fourth bottom line, v'sayrfin oisei b'kedusha b'mokoyim kodosh, i.e. ba'azora. You have to burn it, not anywhere you choose, but in the azora. Umitoich ha-shitin moitziin oisei. And from the depths of the shitin, they were moitzi it. Shelo yismalu ha-shitin min ha-nesochin. So that the shittin should not become full or over full from the sochin. Shekol korbonos hatzibur v'ayochid. All the korbonos during the duration of the year, whether public or private, tu'unin nesochin. They all require nesochin. And if they all require nesochin, chutz michatas v'oshom, so you can imagine that there must have been, over the course of the years, it definitely piled up. V'sorfin oisom, you would burn it, sha'asurin bahano, because there were osa to benefit from. And if it's osa to benefit from, why is it osa to benefit from the kodesh who? Because they were kodesh. And if they were kodesh, you cannot have benefit. If you cannot have benefit, what were you required to do? To burn them. Says the Gemara on the bottom line, I hope you recognize this pasuk from this morning's Kriyas HaTorah. Shenemar Bakoidesh Haseich Nesech Sheikhor Lashem. Which the Gemara says, Kashem Shenisuchoi Bikedusha, Kach Streifosoi Bikedusha. What does that mean? Just as the libations, just as the pouring was done by Kedusha, So too, the burning was done by Kedusha. Again, what does it say in the Pasuk? It says, Kodesh, or Bakodesh, Haseich Neser Sheichal Hashem. So it's definitely a reference to the Nesachim, because it says Haseich Neser. And apparently, there's also a reference to the burning. Now, where does it say in that Pasuk anything about burning? It doesn't. That's what the Gemara immediately asks. My mashma. Where on earth is there any implication over there with regard to burning? Says the Gemara, Omar Avina, Asya, we bring along the Gzeira Shava of Kodesh. Kodesh. Because Ksiv Hocha Bakodesh Haseich Nesach. The Ksiv Hosam, and it says elsewhere with regard to Noisar. It says Vesorafto es hanoisar, you shall burn the noisar boesh lo yoichal why ki kodesh. So what's the gzeira shava based on which words?
Kodesh, kodesh.
Just like with regard to noisar, which you have to burn, it says kodesh. So too, when it says kodesh with regard to nesachim, it also means it has to be burned. So therefore, I know, what do I know? I know that in this pasuk there is a reference, albeit a veiled reference, but there is a reference to the burning. So once this pasuk refers to the burning, and it also refers to the Nesachim, so what do I say? Just as the Nesachim have to be done b'kedusha, so too the burning has to be done b'kedusha. Menachem, sorry, can I try just to close the bathroom door? Sorry, excuse me, I'm sorry. Just keep, no, got the one.
The doorknob is broken.
Oh, it doesn't close?
Can't close it from
there. Oh, I see. Oh, my God. We need a new shawl. Says Rashi, Ma nisuchoi b'kedusha. Oh, sorry, we left the last Rashi. The very last Rashi on the Omot. Hikish sreifa l'nisuchoi. What does hikish mean? Comparison. Compare. We compare the pouring to the burning. Now the pouring, I understand, because it says clearly in the Pasuk. Where does it say anywhere in the Pasuk about Sreifa? Well, that we're just seeing, that's via the medium of the Gzeira Shava. So, Hikish Sreifa l'nisuchoi, Ma nisuchoi b'kedusha, Loi yalif mehocha, I am not learning anything from here, Elo, Shesreifosoi b'kedusha. Other than, it's Sreifa, when you burn the leftover wine from the Nesachim, it needs to be done b'kedusha. V'loy b'choil. And it should not be done in a mundane way, in a choil way, but rather in a kedusha fashion.
Doesn't that mean, isn't it to say v'lo b'chil?
No.
I have a yod.
Yes, so do I.
You got lo b'chil? Okay, and then I've got lo b'chil. What have you got on your gemara?
Chol.
Ches vav lamed. Okay, Rabbi Yosef, you have the
deciding vote.
Deciding casting vote.
The arts program is about casting.
B'chayil. I'm afraid it's 3-2 to the chayils.
Extended down.
So therefore, it has to be burnt b'kedusha v'loy b'chayil, i.e. chutz la'azorah, not outside of the azor. So what am I learning from this hekesh? There is a comparison between the nisuch and the burning, just as the nisuch is done where? In the Azara, so to the burning is done in the Azara. Avol hoitzo osoi mipshom. But the taking the wine out of there, pshitali, that's poshut. That I don't need a hekesh or a posuk or a limud for. Why is it poshut? Kedei shelo yismalu. in order, otherwise it's just going to get filled and filled and filled, and eventually it's going to overflow. Therefore, v'loy tzarich kra, therefore I don't need a pasuk for this. So don't make a mistake of thinking that this hekesh or pasuk is teaching me that you take out the wine. No, that's obvious. The question is, what do you do with it? You burn it. That's a gzeirah shavah. That's limud number one. Limud number two is, and where do you burn it? The answer is, in the Azara, because the shat, the nisuch is in the Azara, so too the Sreifa. But the fact that you have to take it out in the first place, says Rashi, I don't need any pasuk for that. That's obvious, because otherwise it's just going to get completely overfilled. Says Rashi, my mashma. Where is the mashmos? Where is any indication, says Rashi, mehocha, from over here, that we require Sreifa? The answer is, Asya Kodesh Kodesh. Ve'ika lemeima nami. We could also say the mitzvahs hoysa osay v'sreifosay mehocha yalef. We could indeed learn from this gezeira shava the mitzvah of both removing it and the sreifa. And even though we just said a moment ago that I don't actually need a posuk to teach me that you take it out, but I guess, says Rashi, once I have a posuk gezeira shava that teaches me you burn it, well, obviously it's inherent in that you've got to take it out. Otherwise, how are you going to burn it? So if I can learn from the Gzeira Shava, if you're required to burn it, clearly you're initially required to take it out. You then burn it. Where must you burn it? In the Azara. Why? Because the Hekesh to the Nesachim. Just like the Nesachim is done Bikedusha, i.e. in the Azara, so to the leftover wine, which has to be burned, how do I know? Because of Kodesh Kodesh, also has to be done Bikedusha, i.e. in the Azara. Okay, says the Gemara. Keman Ozla. What does that mean, Keman Ozla? Like, whom does this go? Who does the following, we're going to express a halacha now, whose opinion is this? Keman Ozla. Like, whom does this go? Ha de Tanya, or the side they correct it to, ha de Tanan. It's in fact a Mishnah. In Mi'ila. Nesachim b'tchila moyalim bohem yardu l'shitin ein moyalim bohem. So we have to now put on different hats now, and we have to wear our me'ila hat. What is me'ila? Me'ila means to profane the kedusha of a particular item. So as long as it's got kedusha, you may not use it for mundane usage. If it no longer has kedusha, certainly if it never had kedusha, then there can't exist the issa of me'ila. So now, when you take these nesachim, you take wine, and you've got them in your cup, and you're about to pour them over the mizbeach, would you agree that at this stage of the game, this yayin is kodesh? There's an avoida that needs to be done with it. What is the avoida? The avoida of pouring. Once it's been poured, however, and it's now sitting in the lul or in the tahoim, the mitzvah is history. It's been done. So if I would ask you now, what is the function of this wine now? What would you say?
Nothing.
It used to be that it had kedusha, because then it was destined to be used for a mitzvah. That mitzvah is now all history. It's game over. It's all finished. Therefore, says the Mishnah, as long as you haven't yet done the nesachim, the yain has kedusha, and therefore it is subject to the halachas of me'ila. So if you have a little sip from this wine on the way to Nizbeach, you're over an issa doiraisa. Why? Which issa? Me'ila. But once you've poured the wine, if you now descend into the Tahoim and you scoop up the wine and you drink a cup of it, there's no me'ila. Why? Because the yayin no longer has kedusha. Why does it no longer have kedusha? Because you finished the mitzvah. Says the Mishnah.
That's why you have to burn it, because it still has kedusha.
Oh, 1 second. Very good. That's going to be the Gemara's question. Says the Gemara, Keman Ozlo, Ha de Tanan, that which we have learned in a Mishnah. Nesachim betchila. What does that mean, betchila?
Initially, bringing.
Initially, as long as you haven't yet done the mitzvah yet. Moyalin bohen. What does that mean, moyalin bohen?
You commit a meal for Monday.
It's subject to meal. It doesn't mean you're allowed to be moyal. Chas v'shalom. Moyalin bohen. It's subject to the halachas of meila. Yardu l'shitin. But once it's descended into the shitin, ein moyalin bohen. Then. Not that you're not allowed to be moyal. To the contrary. And there's no longer subject to halachas of Me'ilah. That's the end of the Mishnah. Now, before we see the continuation of the Gemara, let's have a look at Rashi immediately on the end of the second wide line. B'tchila moyalim bohem. Mishehuk tushu. From when they were initially made kodesh, ad shenisnaschu. What does that mean, ad shenisnaschu? Until they were poured. Yesh, bohem, meila. They have in them the halachas of meila. Why? The kodshe gavoya ninu. What does kodshe gavoya mean? It's kodshim for Hashem. As opposed to what? If you have a korban, for example, a korban shlomim, which we can go and eat afterwards, that's not kodshe gavoya. That's kodshim for us. You can't say, oh, you're not allowed to eat that. To the contrary, you're supposed to eat it. You are allowed to use it, not just allowed to, you're supposed to. But anything that's supposed to go on the Mizbeach, who is that kodshim for? That's for Gavoya. What does Gavoya mean?
Hashem.
For lofty purposes, i.e. the Rabbeinu Shalaylam. If it's for the Rabbeinu Shalaylam, then indeed you are not allowed to have any hanah from it, and if you do, that's called Me'ila. Once, however, Yardu L'shitin, says Rashi, Ein Moyalin bohem. Then what? It's not subject to meal, says Rashi. She'ein bohem, because there is no longer in them shum tzerech gavoya. What does that mean? There's no tzerech gavoya.
It's not subject to meal.
There's no divine necessity. There's no divine usage anymore. Why not? It's been done. Game over. So that is now the Mishnah. Now we have to work out who is the author of this Mishnah. Who is the author of this Mishnah? Now, remember, how many opinions have we discussed in the Gemara so far with regard to where does the Nesachim go? Two opinions, the Rabbonon and Rabbi Elazar bat Tzadik. The Rabbonon hold, you poured the wine in and it will just continue flowing forever. Until the Tohoim. Rabbi Elazar bat Tzadik says, no, there was a lul, and that's where the wine got trapped. If you remember, we said yesterday, it had a marble floor, it wasn't absorbed anywhere, it was splashing around in there. After a while, it solidified, and then they had to go and scrape it out. Says the Gemara, who is the author of the Mishnah we just mentioned? Lema. Rabbi Elazar bat Tzadik he di rabbonon hanachti lehu letahoim. So let's just translate and then we'll try and work out if there's any difficulties over here. Let us suggest, remember we said, what does the lema word lema always mean?
It's going to change.
Lema means let us suggest, would we say. And in a minute, the Gemara is going to turn around and say, no, totally inconclusive, no proof whatsoever. So what is the Gemara's initial suggestion? Lema, Rabbi Elazar bat Tzadik, who? Let us suggest that this is Rabbi Elazar bat Tzadik, who says that what? There's a lul.
It's like my sheet in
here. Di Rabbonon, because if you're going to suggest that this Mishnah is the Rabbonon, you're going to run into severe problems. What's the severe problems? Ha-nachtiluhu, it has descended l'tetahayim. What is the Gemara asking? Is the Gemara asking a halachic question or a question in the Metzias? In the Metzias. Forget the halachics for the moment. What did the Mishnah initially say? The Mishnah said two halachas. If you're on your way to Mizbeach, wine in the cup, it's Kodesh, don't touch it, it's Me'ila. Once you've poured the wine into the holds, then what? There's no longer Me'ila.
It's irrelevant, it's gone.
Kum Trabon is totally irrelevant. Forget the halachics of it, it's a superfluous statement. What are you talking about? You can have Hanor, you can't have Hanor, it's gone. It's gone. Because you poured it into the bowls, from then it went into the shittin, and from there it went into the toim. So it would be totally irrelevant to start discussing this hypothetical question of, are you allowed to use the wine afterwards? What do you mean afterwards? It's gone. It's totally irrelevant to talk about. Therefore, it can't be the Rabbanon. Who must it be?
The laws have been telling.
El Chayra must be Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik. Who says that what?
It goes into the law.
It goes into the law. Ah, so it is still relevant there. To talk about, can I use it? Or can I not use it because it's still there? So therefore, we are discussing the Metzius. But here comes the question that Rav Nachum asked, which is, the halachics don't make sense, however, l'chaira. So we understand the story now. According to Rav Elazar bar Tzadik, you pour the wine into the bowl. From there, where does it go? Into the shittin, and that's where it's trapped. So on the one hand, yes, it does make sense now to start discussing, can I or can I not use it? But what does the Mishnah say? That you may use it, which seems to suggest, what's the status of the wine now?
It's still there.
It's there on the one hand, and what's its halachic status? Not Kodesh. But Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik is the one who told us you have to burn it because it is Kodesh. So, l'chaira, we're a bit stuck. Let's have a look at Rashi. End of the third wide line. Keman. Keman itzterich lemisli. What does itzterich lemisli mean? Like whom is it necessary at all to state, ein moyalin, quote unquote. So we're not saying who do the halachics make sense according to. We're saying, the Metzius, according to whom is it even necessary to discuss the following words, Ein Moyalim, quote unquote, to which the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik, comma. Why does it make sense, according to him, to discuss this? The Ein Yoredin LeTohoim. Because according to him, the wine does not go all the way into the Tohoim. Rather, it got trapped where?
In the law.
In the law. The Efshe Leireid Ulahaviyom. Therefore, one could descend and to go and fetch them. If you could descend and go and fetch them, well, then it makes perfect sense to have a discussion. Is there Me'ila? Is there not Me'ila? But if, however, you're talking about the Rabbonon, then it makes no sense. Why does it make no sense?
It's gone. It's no gone. Fetching.
So therefore, it's totally superfluous and irrelevant and unnecessary to start discussing, is there Me'ila? Is there no Me'ila? What on earth is the difference? The wine's gone. Which Me'ila? Me'ila on what? Okay. Says the Gemara, no. First wide line. Afilu Tema Drabonon. This is the retort to the Lema. You thought that we're talking about the opinion of Rabbi Elazar because it doesn't make sense at all according to the Rabbanon. Says, well, it's not true. Afilu Tema Rabbanon. You could even suggest it's going with the opinion of the Rabbanon, but surely the wine's gone.
Maybe not.
Says the Gemara, you got there quickly, but the Iklit. What does it mean by the Iklit? What does Kolat mean, like Ir Miklot? What's Ir Miklot mean?
Refuge.
City of refuge, because once you're in there, you're trapped in there. That's what it means over here. But the Iklit, you trapped it. Says Rashi, last wide line. The Iklit, Imtolo, Kli. What happens if you dangled a Kli, B'teich HaShittin, inside of the Shittin, the Kibel, and you caught it there? So therefore, maybe it sounds a bit far-fetched, but at least it's a possibility. So you cannot say that it's irrelevant to talk about according to the Rabbanon, because once the wine goes into the shittin, it trickles out and disappears forever. That's true. But if you put some sort of cup there,
capture it.
Then you'll capture it. Inklet, it will trap the wine, and then you could have a perfectly valid discussion. What do I now do with the wine? So now let's stop for a moment. If I would ask you at this stage of the game, the Gemara quoted a Mishnah. Who is the author of the Mishnah at this stage of the game? We don't know. Exactly. Oh, that's the right answer. We don't know. We thought it must be Rebbe Loza, because according to Rabbanon, forget the halachics, just the Metzias don't make sense. Totally non-realistic to talk about whether or not you can or can't use the wine. There is no wine, it's gone. To which the Gemara's turned around and says, that's not true. It could be talking about the Rabbanon as well. Why? Because I could design a rather strange scenario, but it could exist. You put a cup in the shittin. And if you put a cup in the shittin, then what? You trap the wine, and the wine has not run away. So therefore I need to have a discussion about whether you can or can't use the wine. So who's the author of the Mishnah? We simply don't know. But one second. Here comes Reb Nachum's question. Didn't Reb Elazar bar Tzadok say that you scrape the wine out of the lul and it has kedusha? That's why you have to burn it. Asabahano. So how could we possibly suggest, in the beginning we thought it's only Reb Elazar bar Tzadok, when you get to the Gemara we're not sure, at the end it might be Reb Elazar bar Tzadok. How can it be Reb Elazar bar Tzadok? How can this Mishnah say that once it's got into the lul, or the tahoim, either you trap it with a kli, or there was a box anyway, whatever it is, and it says there's no mu'mila, do what you like. I thought we just learned you have to burn it, the kedusha, because it's asa bahano. Isn't that a glaring stira? So let's continue another line, and we'll see that the Gemara almost asks this. The ikka da omri. What does Vikad Omri mean? An alternative version. The alternative version went the other way around. Lema Rabbonon hi. To the contrary. Unlike the first Lishna, which initially thought that who's the Mechaber, who's the author of this Mishnah, who thought it's Reb Elazar, and eventually said, no, it might well be the Rabbonon, now we're saying the opposite. And what is that? The Gemara is suggesting that in fact, L'chayre, it seems to be the Rabbanon. Why? V'loy Reb Elazar bar Tzadok. Why not? Yi Reb Elazar. Because if it is Reb Elazar, surely Akati still b'kedushosayu kaimi. It's still standing, it still remains in its kedusha status. What's the Gemara's question?
How can you tell me that Mila may not apply? It still could do.
Exactly.
It still has kedusha.
Which is exactly the question we asked before. How? That's what Gemara is suggesting. Surely this Mishnah is the opinion of the Rabbanon. Why? Because Lachari can't be Reb Elazar bar Tzadok. Because Reb Elazar bar Tzadok, then surely it's still in its kedusha. It still remains in its kodesh status. For that reason, you have to burn it. So how can you tell me, therefore, you're allowed to be moil? Why would you allow to be moil? It's got no kedusha. Kodesh Belos Bat Tzadok, it jolly well does have kedusha. What's the Gemara's answer? That no. Afilu Tema Rebbe Elazar. I can even suggest to you that it is Rebbe Elazar. But we have a principle. Ein Lecha Dovor. There is no such item, shena'ase mitzvosoi, where the mitzvah has been done with it, umoelim boy. And it would still be subject to an isamila. It can't be. Therefore, Reb Elazar bar Tzadok would have to agree, whether you like it or not, that once I've done the mitzvah of the nesachim, I'm done. What does he mean, I'm done? It's no longer b'kedusha. Why? Because we have a principle. Ein l'cha dovo. Ein l'cha dovo sounds like an all-encompassing, no-exception rule that whenever you have an item, shenase mitzvose, what does that mean, shenase mitzvose? Where the mitzvah has been done with it, it's no longer subject to mi'ila. Therefore, you're telling me that this must be Rabbono, no, it could be Rabbi Elazar. Why, how could it be Rabbi Elazar? How could it be Moel? Because there's no problem, it's Nasa Mitzvah. So what is the obvious question that we all have? Shver. So if it really is Nasa Mitzvah, and you're allowed to be Moel, so why are you burning it? Why are you burning it? The Moel says it's Kodesh, Kodesh. Well, which Kedusha is Nasa Mitzvah? Let's just see Rashi first. Ikadom rilema ha duktoni yordin shitin ein moelin, quote unquote. Really, rabbonon he lachoyre must be the rabbonon the iklit. And we're talking about where he managed to scoop it up. Nonetheless, ein moelim, don't worry, there is no problem with meila. Dein bohen me'ato, because from now on there is no tzirich kavoya, no necessity for a kodshim usage, and therefore it's not subject to kedusha. That was the Gemara's initial suggestion, that maybe this goes according to the Rabbana. Deir beloza akati bikedusha. It is still in its kedusha status. How do I know? Akati bikedusha sayu kaimi. It's still standing in its initial Kodesh status. How do I know? The Ka'omar, because he said, Sofin, Oisoi, Bikdusha. What do I see from that, Alma? Kedusha son Aleihem. Clearly, their Kedusha is still attached to them. Midabo, Srefa, from that which they require, Srefa. And that was the Gemara's question. Surely this only fits in according to Rabbanon, but it does not fit Rabbi Elazar by Yitzchak. Why would it not fit with Rabbi Elazar by Yitzchak? Because according to Rabbi Elazar by Yitzchak, it has Kedusha.
It retains its Kedusha.
It maintains. How do I know it maintains its Kedusha?
You have to burn it.
The biggest proof is the fact you have to burn it. Why are you burning if it's got no Kedusha? Do what you like with it. Elomai, it would seem to suggest Rabbi Elazar by Tzadik holds that the Kedusha is still here. So therefore, how on earth can you turn around to me in the Mishnah and say, there is no problem concerning Me'ila, there is no Kedusha whatsoever. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yitzchak, surely there is a Kedusha. How do I know? Proof of the pudding is that it needs to be burned.
So what does Rabbi Elazar do with the principle that once you do a mitzvah, there's no more Kedusha? What does he do with it?
In our particular case,
why does he say that principle will not apply to the lul?
Right.
Is that an exception?
So this is the big question we have on our hands now. Let's just see one more. Rashi. Shenasis mitzvosei v'nisuchoi. Once it's been poured, hu ikka mitzvosei. That is the main mitzvah. So what do we have at the moment? We have Lishna number one and Lishna number two. Lishna number one thought that who's talking in the Mishnah must be
Rabbi
Elazar. Because according to the Rabbanon, not for halachic reasons, but purely for practical purposes, if the wine has seeped into the Tehoim and disappeared from there forever, it makes no sense to start talking about whether you can or can't be Moel. It's totally academic. What did the Gemara answer to that? No. Lo'ilom, it could be. It could be the Rabbanon as well. How on earth do you end up using wine? Teres says you put a klide somehow and to trap it. Yafe. What was the other Lishna? The other Lishna was the exact opposite. Let us suggest that who's talking over here, it is Dafka the Rabbanon, in a case at least where you trapped it, because according to Rabbi Elazar, it won't make sense. That was the Gemara's question. Why would it not make sense?
Because we have a principle that once you use it, it no longer has Kedusha.
No, that's the Teres. That's the Teres. But before then, that's the Teres of the Gemara. But what was the initial question of the Gemara? Why did the Gemara think that this Mishnah was incompatible with Rabbi Elazar Batzadik? Because Rabbi Elazar, on the one hand, holds that it does maintain the Kedusha. How do I know? The fact that it requires Srefa. And yet our Mishnah seems to suggest that there's no Kedusha, and that's why it says you're allowed to be Moel. So how does that make sense? So what's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer is no. It can even fit with Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, But Eilacha Dova, everything that the mitzvah has been done with already, is not subject anymore to Me'ilah. So why on earth are you burning it then? That is the question. We seem to have a glaring contradiction. We're suggesting on the one hand that Rabbi Loza Bar Tzadik would tell you that there is absolutely no problem of Me'ilah. Why is there no problem of Me'ilah? Because you've done the mitzvah. We have an all-encompassing rule that once you've done the mitzvah with something, it's all over. And yet we seem to have a glaring steer to it because Rabbi Loza Bar Tzadik is the one who told us that you need to burn it. Why would you need to burn it? The answer is because it has Kedusha. If it has Kedusha, then L'chere should be subject to Me'ilah. So it's a steer of Loza Bar Tzadik. My art scroll don't comment on this. Yeah, you asked this?
I don't.
Oh. He asks the question. Although there is still a mitzvah to burn the congealed wine, the wine's libation's main mitzvah is its pouring. And the prohibition of Me'ilah ends once the pouring is performed.
So we just don't have Me'ilah, but it still has
exactly
some degree of Kedusha.
In other words, we are distinguishing, making a very, very subtle distinction between the halachas of Me'ilah and when it's got Kedusha. We normally associate the two together. If it's got Kedusha, then it's subject to Me'ilah. If it's been stripped of its Kedusha, then it's not been subject to its Me'ilah. Here we're being told a new Chiddush. No. On the one hand, it does have Kedusha. And that's why you've got to burn it. But because it's not oimed for the mitzvah, it's not subject to Me'ilah. Uh-huh. Me'ilah means misappropriating for its main usage. So imagine you've got the cup of wine, you're about to get onto the mizbeach and you decide to have a sip of the wine. That's called misappropriating. Why? Because what's it oimed for? What's it standing to be used?
For pouring.
For nesachim, using for something else. Once you've finished pouring, if I asked you now, what's it oimed for? Nothing. It's got no usage. No tzoyrech gavoya. Happens to be it's got Kedusha and therefore you have to burn it. But it's got no tzoyrech kavoya. There's no mitzvah that you're about to perform with it. Therefore you're not allowed, therefore you're allowed to use it. Or at least, if you use it, you're not over the issa of Me'ilah. You're not allowed to have hanah, that's true, but it's not Me'ilah. So you can't have benefit from it because it's got Kedusha. That's why you have to burn it. But that's not called Me'ilah. The specific issa of Me'ilah is not merely benefiting from something which has Kedusha. So we're emerging today with a brand new definition of Me'ilah. Me'ilah does not mean benefiting from something which has Kedusha. And this is the greatest proof. Because we're talking about something over here which has Kedusha, and that's why it needs to be burned. And yet,
it's not
subject to Me'ilah. So you see, the Me'ilah does not mean benefiting from something that has Kedusha. In this particular case, by the way, it's true, you're not allowed to benefit from it. Why? Not because of Me'ila. Because it's got Kedusha. There is a different Issakul Me'ila. Me'ila means misappropriating something which is oimed for Tzerech Gavoya. This wine might be as holy as you like, but you cannot say it's oimed for Tzerech Gavoya. Mitzvah has been done.
Would you say now we've resolved the stira?
If we've resolved the stira.
And therefore we still don't know who is the author.
If we do not know who the author, it might well be Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. And on the one hand he says, yes, it has Kedusha, and that's why it requires burning. But no, it does not stand to be used for a Tzerech Gavoya, and therefore it's not subject to Me'ila. So Me'ila is a very, very delicate issa. Me'ila does not simply mean using a Dovah Kodesh. That's not what Me'ila is. Me'ila is misappropriating something which is oimed for Tzerech Gavoya. This is not oimed for Tzerech Gavoya because it's been done.
Me'ila doesn't apply yet.
She has Kedusha. Okay, let's just make a start to the next Gemara. Omar Esh Lakish Bizman Shemanaschin Yain Al Gaba Mizbeach. When they used to pour the wine on top of the Mizbeach, Poikekin Eshashitin. What does Poikekin Eshashitin mean?
Block it off.
They used to block it off. What do you mean block it off? It's put a plug there. Well, if you put a plug at the bottom of the bowl and you pour the wine in, what's going to happen? Initially, it will overflow. Eventually, when you pull the plug out, then it'll all seep out. But initially, it'll overflow. Now, what's the point of that? Why would you want this wine sploshing all over the Mizbeach? It's not an American word?
Sploshing? No. Never used it. Sloshing.
What would you say? Sloshing or sploshing?
Splashing.
I can call Donnie if you want.
Says the Gemara Bizman Shemanaschin Yain Al Gaba Mizbeach Poikekin. In Ivrit Pekak is like a plug. So you plug the shit in. Lekayim Ma Shenemar, in order to fulfill that which is written, Haseich Bakoidesh Haseich Neser Shecher Lashem. What does that mean? Where on earth do you see in that pasuk that there has to be some sort of plugging or spilling or sploshing or splashing or spilling or sloshing? My mashma. What is the indication? Where is there any hint to in this pasuk that you got to plug it? Omer of Papa, because it says the word Shecha. What is Shecha? Loshen Shtia. Shecha actually means beer. Loshen Shtia, Loshen Svia, Loshen Shichrus. It is the language of drinking, satiation, and drunkenness. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Poikakin esa shitin. They used to plug the shitin esa nekev, the whole shibaroisham is beach. On top of the Mizbeach, there was the hole. Shana Sochim Yodim Boy Lashitin. Then the Sochim used to descend into the Shittin via that hole. But you should know, in the beginning, what did they do? They plugged it up. Why? Sheyiroe Hayayin Olov. So that the wine should appear on it. Kagorain. What's a gorain?
Throat.
A throat. Mole Vasavea. Full and satisfied. And as you imagine, if you'll excuse the moshel, somebody pours wine or whatever it is into his mouth and he just pours a whole bottle. You can't swallow that quick, so it's absolutely spilling over. So if the Pasuk says Sheikha, says Rashi, Sheikha is a Lashon of Shichrus, V'simcha, V'nesicha. So on the one hand, the reference in the Pasuk is clearly to the Nesachim, but the manner in which it's done, it's got to be like beer drinking. When a person drinks beer, it's not like a little whiskey or a little dibble, a little sip. Rather, you just splosh it down. What's the implication? It would seem very unbecoming for this Be'ach to look like this, but presumably the reason is to show that there's a big shefa, there's plenty of it. No shortage.
We're not being miserly with the Mizbeach. There's absolutely no shortage when it comes to Mizbeach. Don't worry, we're not trying to be miserly in any way.
I thought the implication was that it's more satisfying to a person to have a gulp of wine as opposed to a sip.
Right, we're going to see in the next line of the Gemara, that's what it means. Not as you not as I suggested, that to show that we're not being miserly is plenty, but if there has to be an element of satisfaction, as it were, apparently it's more satisfying when you pour it in quickly than just pouring it in slowly, drop by drop. And that we're going to see in the next Gemara, next time, Amit Hashem, all being well on Thursday, I'll be able to.
Wish you all a good Chodesh.
Chodesh Tov.